We're kicking down this motherfucking door, and we're doing that.
Let's get into it. If there's anything that could be haunted, for sure that fucking chair's haunted.
Then again, the internet always wins.
Searching around about this dock, I found...
Let's be frank, there's piss on the floor.
Was pulled out of power, and he was murdered by firing squad. I'll start huffing paint. Three Dudes in a Dock. That's the one.
That is what it's called.
Welcome back to another week of Three Dudes in a Dock. This week, we watched the 2018 doc, Minding the Gap, directed by Bing Liu. I'm here with Mitch and Christian, as always. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
Hello.
How much of a fucking wonderkind do you need to be to, like, be have it, like, your first doc Oscar nominated? And to lose to, like, and this was a really good doc, and lose to a fucking fantastic doc.
Yeah. What did it lose to?
Free Solo.
Oh, right. We talked about this last week. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
That's hitting the high water mark early.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's... I would be okay with that. If I lost to something like Free Solo or Minding the Gap with a debut doc, I'd be like, well, fuck. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think you have to be happy regardless to have your debut documentary...
Or nominated.
Yeah. Nominated, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did direct something before, but I assume it was like a college project or something like that because it doesn't have a picture on...
That'd be funny if it's just like a short... of this, so it's like a concept of this, and then
I think it was honestly
that makes
I think that he was.
It was called Newark.
Newark.
It was a short.
No, that's not what I was thinking of. So he was doing a mini project that transformed into this one, and it was basically the same thing. But then maybe it was never released.
No, So his directing credits are Newark in 2010.
Yeah.
Minding the Gap, America to Me, All These Sons, and then there's two upcoming that are in pre-production.
Right. He probably still has to jump through so many hoops to get financing, which is so fucked up.
Even after this.
Yeah. You'd be like, this should just stand alone.
Your very first movie gets inducted into the Criterion and the Congress of Library. Like,
we're not sure if we should give you $100,000. Like, are you fucking serious?
And like, he's been working in the film industry since 2009. Doing various jobs like camera, lighting, electrical jobs. But yeah, to have your again, this wasn't a skateboarding doc. This was a personal story doc. But
there was some good skate footage though.
Yeah, dude knows how to work a camera for
fuck
sure.
Holy fuck, that opening scene.
Yeah,
nuts.
There's a lot of photographers and cinematographers that like grew up filming skateboarding, and then you can see them like going on to shit, and like, wow, that guy's really good.
Yeah.
And like,
or killing themselves.
Is there filmers that
one or the other one
that got really dark?
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, no, fantastic movie.
It's true.
The footage was great. The content was fantastic.
Yeah. For an I don't want to say ad hoc, but like for an amateur film, essentially, I can't get over the filming, like framing shots, timing, even setting himself up in the room. There were some like designed shots for sure, like being in the freezer when they're looking at Zach Mulligan's new job at a restaurant or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the freezer and then the door opens and Zach comes in to put some stuff away and then closes him in again. But like, how did he know? There's no way that he sat in the freezer for 45 minutes and be like, are you coming in here today?
So the last shot of the doc is a prime example of that. Is it Kira?
I don't know. I feel like I kept hearing people say Kiara and then, Kier was another one. Yeah. I don't know.
That's formal,
but
I'm going to say Kier.
So spoiler alert, he ends up moving to Denver. And so like the last shots are like him driving away down the street. And then, and then the last shot is like up on a bridge and his car is like coming towards the bridge. And then it just ends.
It could have been like two locations. Be like, sure. Oh, like what were you taking? I mean, I got across this bridge and be like, oh, that'd be cool. I'll be there. But
yeah,
not likely.
But who cares? Because it works and it's fantastic. Okay, it doesn't change the story. It doesn't it doesn't lie to the viewer that, you know, this is something that's happening. Sometimes you just need B-roll footage.
Yeah. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the story.
No, no. But yeah, like just, I was going to say knock it out of the park, but that's a baseball metaphor. What's a skateboarding? Ollie the fuck out of it.
Bolts. You landed this one on bolts.
Yeah.
For sure. Ollie the fuck out of it.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Ollie the fuck out of it was much better. Yeah. It's way better.
That's as much as I know about skateboarding.
He Ollied the fuck out of this dock.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, it was superb.
But it's kind of funny to me. Like, it feels like, you know, this isn't kind of a, you know, that friend group issue. It's like, if it feels to me like it's a skateboarding issue across the board.
It like, kind of is. That's why it morphed into this.
Yeah. Like the kids that I knew growing up that, you know, all skateboarded, I would say are very much along the same lines as these guys in this doc. A little bit turbulent home life, maybe. Kind of that same attitude.
Even just a rebellious nature.
Yeah.
You can have an okay home life, but if you're just that kind of person,
sure.
you buck everything. Yeah. So you just go outside. Yeah, definitely. Well, it started off that Bing wanted to, well, he was traveling the country trying to get like, he was starting off doing a survey doc. He was going to talk about skateboarders sort of in general.
Uh-huh.
And this theme kept popping up that like everyone's fucking fathers were absent or shitty. They all had troubles adjusting to life either on their own or outside without their fathers. And
yeah,
they're all obviously already skateboarding, 'cause that's the demographic that he was shooting for. That's the only people he was talking to. But, and then he realized this theme cropped up so often that he just transitioned the doc completely, went back to his hometown, and believe it or not, he wasn't really friends with these kids growing up. Like they're not lifelong friends.
I mean, they have video of them when they're younger together.
I think they have video, but it wasn't video that Bing shot.
Okay.
As far as I know,
I thought they were in the videos together.
They did like skate videos and stuff, but that was just a couple of years before. Because I think when the doc starts, Kier is like 16 or 17. But when it's on the website, mindingthegap.com, there's a fucking bunch of write-ups.
Okay.
And
cool.
They talk about, I went to the press section, like the press kit section. Yeah. And I have never done this before, but because I always thought press kit was like posters and ads and screening contact information if you want to do a screening.
Like press releases.
Yeah, or like frequently asked questions.
Usually. Or stuff like that. Yeah, I guess. So I've never gone to that on a website. I go to the website almost every time for any doc that we do, and I never go to the press kit section because I don't think that's for me. Because I'm not looking to like pay for anything. I just want free shit. So, but I went there this time for some reason. I just needed more information. I wanted to go through everything because I didn't want this to become somehow just an hour of, I don't know what else to say other than that it's fucking great and we're just going to talk about the doc.
Yeah.
In sequence. So anyways, I went to the press kit section looking for something and I found it, like synopsis, summaries, director, producer, editor, cameraman, assistants, executive producers, all of their write-ups and then brief like project histories, one written by Bing Liu. Anyway, so he went to a university, don't know what it was, but he went for English major. He was going to be an English teacher, graduated, worked in the cinematography department. Excuse me, that was gross. Edit that out.
We can do that.
We can. Okay, good. And then just started working on things like editing and helping people film because he filmed skate footage and he kind of wanted to just be a part of it again. And that's where this all came from. But he talks about the people, well, Kier and Zach, like as if they're not friends.
Mm.
I don't know why you would make that decision instead of just saying like, my friends, I realized, became perfect examples for the very kind of doc that I was looking to make.
Yeah. Instead of just saying their names.
Yeah. Like it's just very bizarre. Check it out. How he talks about, Zach and Kier. It's like, as if they're like, they're deep acquaintances now, or yeah. like maybe even friends, but like,
they just didn't go through shit as kids or didn't know each other as kids.
Like they didn't like go to school together and whatnot. I guess, I mean, like it's a, like rock.
Just don't know their relationship.
What is it? Rockport? Rockbridge?
Rockford.
Yeah. It's a pretty big city.
Yeah. It's like, essentially, it's a suburb of Chicago.
Right.
It's,
so it's like 150, 180,000 people.
Yeah. It's right outside of Chicago. It would be like, you know, like Mississauga to Toronto.
But like, dozens and dozens of schools, like Kingston, our closest city like that, has like at least 15 schools, like high schools, public schools. So you could easily have lived in the same city and even skateboarded. Absolutely.
Yeah, but skateboarding, like I've biked with so many dudes that I'm like, I'm acquaintances with them, but like, oh, you're close friends with that person? Like, no, not really.
Yeah.
So yeah
exactly.
Like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
But you would get the impression though that they had known each other their whole lives.
Sure.
There's like old footage, old grainy footage. But I don't think that that's really the case. Not technically.
They're just telling a story, man.
Well, and that claim is never made.
No, as well.
In the documentary.
Yeah.
But, I just assume because he talks to Kier's mom. Mm-hmm. So I assume, well, you know, like that's like me going to talk to a friend's mom about this whole thing. Right. Like I assume that's what made it more open, more, cause it's hard to just talk to some acquaintance's mom about the shitty childhood he had. Right.
Yeah. Like,
Hey, that guy that fucked you, he seemed pretty shitty.
Why did he do those things to your
kid? Why did you let that happen?
Yeah. The press kit, the website is good in and of itself, but the press kit has some really interesting information.
Cool.
Nice. I'll have to check that out after, but
The moral is to be a good dad?
I think so.
If you don't want your kid to be a skateboarder.
There's nothing wrong with skateboarding.
I think there's successful skateboarders that had normal families.
Well, I'm sure there are.
Shit, not right. Fuck, man, your point might be right, because Scheckler, I don't think he really had a dad, and he kills it.
It kind of rings true. Like that demographic is for whatever reason.
Are there like prolific players that like didn't have dads?
I mean,
that you know of?
No, like not that I'm aware of.
There's a lot of baseball players.
Yeah, I was just wondering if something that like a sport like that.
Well, see, I think a sport like that, like you need to have a decent family life.
Yeah, that's
right?
Lot of ballparks to walk to.
That's a lot of traveling. Hockey, baseball, football.
Yeah, hockey.
Like it's so organized that, you know, there's when you're playing at a high level when you're a kid, there's so much traveling.
Yeah.
But for skateboarding, right, it's like you just kind of grab your board and go fuck off on your own.
Yeah. You could get to a level, and I've seen it 1,000 times, that like you are young, but like people will just like, hey, we'll pay you to come to this, like we'll pay for your trip, and that just covers you to get to this spot, and then you skateboard there,
or you just get in the fucking van,
or you just here's
you show up to the contest. And you're like, do you got $20 to enter? You're like, I don't have fucking $20. You just told me to get in the van.
Yeah.
And then you land and you're like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
Can I bomb $20?
But yeah, it is crazy. Like I've heard stories of guys entering a contest, like Christian said, and then winning it or doing really well. And then at the end of it, it's like, all right, here's a full, like we'll give you a full contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that's crazy that can happen.
In this documentary, Kier gets sponsored.
Yeah. Sweet. Who's he get sponsored by?
Mpage or something. It's like a little, I think it was a board shop, not like
that's still pretty cool.
Out in Denver.
That's still cool.
I feel like would be really hard to do. Denver's like
the skateboarding?
Fucking, it's like the Edmonton or like the Calgary.
Oh no, Denver's like super nice.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, huh. No. I mean like for that's skateboarding.
Funny. No, shitty. Yeah, dude, it's probably hilly as fuck.
I think it's probably like, it's probably really good for skateboarding, like really popular.
That's the tricky part, right? That like, there's so much competition. Like, oh. I guess I choose Edmonton because it has like the largest skate park.
Canada. See, I did not know that.
Yeah.
It is. It's like as big as a fucking Walmart parking lot. Any Walmart.
Is it in the West Edmonton Wall?
It should be.
No.
It might be too big. It's check it out. Honestly, it's fucking it's huge. Yeah. You can be, you could be a pro there for sure. But a friend of mine and Mitch's, Landon, he grew up in Edmonton. He was like 15 minutes from the park. Great skater. But he said that there were like 10-year-olds, 13-year-olds doing shit that pros elsewhere, like in Kingston. Yeah. No fucking kid in Kingston is going to be as good as a kid from Edmonton.
Yeah.
They just don't have the opportunity.
Those kids can like skateboard better than they can walk.
Yeah.
Like that kid can't quite run yet, but then like he'll do a fucking flare 5 feet out of a quarter. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'm going to alienate all our Edmonton listeners. It's because there's nothing fucking else to do in Edmonton.
Yeah. It's the only way that you can like see anything.
He's
yeah.
10 years old. He's like, I got to learn this flare or start doing meth. And I think flare is a healthier choice. Yeah. I'll get head trauma over doing heavy drugs at 11. But that is to your point. But then it like just
it's like Californian surfing. Like I'm a terrible fucking surfer.
Yeah, but if you grew up in that, you would look at that either. Now as like, oh man, that learning curve is so insane. And then you just grew up in that culture. You're like, oh no, that fucking I've been with it.
So you, you do this and you do that, and now you're a pro.
Do you remember the documentary like the hatchet wielding hitchhiker?
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe Kai was from Edmonton. He was a skateboarder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them are good.
When that first happened, my buddy sent me that video and was like, this guy reminds me of you. And I was like, I don't know if I should be offended or what. But like, what the fuck, man?
Like, I kind of get it. Like, whenever I'm describing Mitch to anyone, my friends, I'm like, he's just like an eccentric, like,
kind of... hatchet wielding hitchhiker. I
was kind of... So... Which is funny.
Just don't have, if you ever say questionable shit and he's got a hatchet around him, he might smash you in the face. Like, oh, wow, no, what a way to sell me.
Smash. Smash.
Yeah.
So
blunt and sharp end.
I do believe just before we started recording, we were talking about Mitch hunting a rat in the backyard with a hatchet. So.
Oh, shit.
Damn, to my point. Yeah, I guess I didn't like that. But fuck.
Whenever I describe Mitch to like a friend or someone
else. Why?
Like,
why are you doing that? Why is there a need to do that?
Well, if someone asks about the podcast or whatever,
nothing. Like, it's nothing. Don't worry about it.
I'm like, yeah, he's just kind of like an eccentric, like no bullshit dude. Like that's kind of how I describe him all the time.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, I love it.
You've been fucking up.
Yeah.
Mitch is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Mitch is one of the best people I know, so.
If I don't say this, I'm going to forget about it.
He's going to get all pissy now.
Last week, no, fuck up. my favorite backup singer is, in fact, the Ikettes.
Yeah?
The group, the Ikettes, and Tina Turner. She doesn't really count, though.
The Ikettes, was she in?
She was a backup singer for Frank Zappa. The most complicated backup vocal track that they had ever recorded. In Montana, not in Montana, the song Montana.
This is Zappa, you crazy.
It was fucking gnarly. It took them like 5 days to get.
Was that song about Tony Montana?
No.
Well, it was definitely what Tony Montana sold. That was in the room for show.
Yeah, likely. Yeah.
You know, okay. It takes 5 days for a Frank Zappa song. And like, we were stone sober and believed in Jesus that week. Yeah, okay.
I mean, not Frank, it wasn't his backing track. It was their backing track. But, I mean, Tina Turner and the Ikettes might have done cocaine.
I got that confused. Okay, never mind.
But,
I mean, they would need to. Why not make the story? Sure.
For this track, anyone listening or anyone in this room except me, check it out.
There's that album of Tina Turner where her hair's all crazy and, like, she under some influence.
Did Tina Turner ever skateboard?
Probably not.
Her kids, mine, or grandkids, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you ever
skateboard?
You know, I stepped on a skateboard once and I subsequently fell to my ass.
That's why your ankle's all fucked up?
Yeah, I can't.
No. That's why my pride is all fucked up.
Oh.
I have a very low self-esteem now.
The ankle's genetics. I could probably skateboard as best as you can.
Yeah.
I cannot. Yeah. Same thing.
I can't ride a little bike like you can.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I can skate. I mean,
yeah.
I skate a lot. Skated a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to skateboard to work.
It seems really cool, the feeling.
3 or 4 years ago.
it seems cool, the feeling of just like flowing a bowl or like being able to not even doing tricks, just like fucking around.
Yeah.
And then like that.
Just riding.
It's the same thing with a bike, but like a skateboard is just less. It's really like, oh man, like someone ripping a bowl.
Mm.
It seems like so much fun.
It's
so,
way fun.
You know what? Like, I think if you start skateboarding young,
yeah,
like that's the key.
You have to.
Yeah. So my fucking niece has one of these hoverboard things.
Yeah.
Oh, like the two wheel.
Have you fucking tried these things?
No. Yeah, man.
They are fucking crazy hard.
Yeah.
Like, I tried one in my buddy's house when he was doing renovations. So it's like flat, like plywood.
Mm.
Like, it was impossible. Like, I could not do it.
Yeah.
Mm. She just, like, she got one for her birthday, jumps on this fucking thing and just goes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, so you've been on that before? Like, no, I saw videos.
No,
like, what?
No learning curve, nothing.
Yeah.
How old are they?
I mean, she was probably like, she's what, nine now? Eight, nine now? She was probably like seven when she got it.
Damn, holy. This kid's fearless, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get her a skateboard.
Well, instead, like the one I tried at my, when I tried at my buddy's, it was his nephew's, and they got it and jumped on like right, and no problem.
Crazy.
Did it feel weird to get shit talked by a 7-year old when you fell?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You do have like. Like razor thin pride.
I know.
Fuck.
I beat the fuck out of that kid.
Yeah. But no, like
he needs that little wheelie thing now.
Yeah.
It's just a cripple.
Because like, you gotta like lean. Like yeah. It's not.
Do you think it has something to do with like their center of gravity is like way different?
I don't know.
It is lower, that's for sure.
But like my nieces have one and my brother in law jumped on it and the same thing. Like I guess he ate shit in their in their living room.
Hmm. So yeah, I don't even like it's fucking like voodoo to me. Like how do you lean forward?
And you got
to
get the kit. Have you seen the kit where you can like sit down and you make it like a three? Those are sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah. No. Yeah. Skateboarding.
Yeah.
Do you know
Alliance? Do you know where Minding the Gap, the title comes from?
I was going to ask. So I do know it's like a skateboarding term.
Is it?
I believe.
I've never heard it before.
Oh.
I was just like from the British subway.
Oh.
That's where it's like. Actually from
were you gonna tell us
so it's in the website on mindingthegap.com not explicitly it's subtextual for sure Bing Liu is an English major but he references it directly and he says minding the gap between childhood and adulthood and that is precisely the bookends of this whole documentary is they start when they're all young and they finish when they have seemingly, like in all appearances, become a young adult.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I think I'm stuck in the gap.
Agreed
with that?
Interesting. Whatever.
For some reason, I thought like minding the gap was like a skateboarding term.
I thought it was at first too. I was racking my brain. I'm like, well, like any gap, I guess, but like obviously mind it. I don't know. Like,
yeah, that'd be a weird thing to say.
Like, don't worry about that 6-foot drop.
Yeah, that'd be a weird thing to say at a skate park. And like, hey, Christian, mind the gap. He'd be like, yeah, I see that there's stairs there.
For some reason, I thought, what the fuck? You know, like, I'm gonna look this up as well.
It sounds like a burn, though. On it, like a
minding the gap.
Like a pay.
Are you minding the gap? Like, fuck you, man.
No, but like you see someone like drop in. They're gonna try something. And you're like, oh, mind the gap, buddy.
Yeah. What?
You're gonna fuck up.
Yeah, just about throw their pop off the coping, like, mind the gap. Like, what?
What gap?
Yeah.
It's just a poorly built skate park where there's a gap at the bottom of the quarter or the flat.
Or like fucking Eurobanks where there's a chunk taken out. Like, I've smashed my face off the top of those so many times if they're not marked out properly and you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it sucks. Right to your face.
I had so much... to think about watching this doc at the same time. Cause like I had a great childhood and a great home life and that's why I'm not a pro skateboarder.
Man.
But
did you call your parents and be like, why didn't you leave, Dad? Yeah. I could have got free shoes.
You know how many broken bones and like sort of, acclaims for skating I could have gotten.
I could have got a cover of Trans World magazine. That isn't really a thing anymore.
Yeah. That's a shame.
I could have been cool.
Transworld was like the no bullshit.
There's a Portuguese hip hop group called Mind the Gap.
Oh,
Mind the Gap.
Wow.
Mind the Gap.
There's a movie called Mind the Gap.
Yeah. When I was trying to look this thing up,
I accidentally watched it.
I mean, this is a movie.
No, like a movie.
like a fiction.
Yeah.
And it's called Mind the Gap.
It's about old ladies skateboarding.
I watched like the first 5 minutes.
Through the London Tube.
One of them.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore. She just blows her brains out.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, that term is pretty cool.
It doesn't have any kind of gap.
Yeah. I get it.
It doesn't have any kind of skateboarding.
I've never heard of
it. It's pretty heavy in that context that you said, though, Christian.
It's just, you watch the setup. You're like, you're going to bail for sure. So you just let it happen. You're like, oh yeah, buddy, mind the gap. You know something that they don't.
Yeah. What? Oh no.
Just as they're about to eat shit. Yeah. I'm so fucking glad that no one got really badly hurt in this documentary.
But didn't the one guy kill himself?
No. What?
Oh.
Who?
I thought you made that joke.
No.
No. Oh no. About skate videographers.
I was like, God, did I miss a part?
I legit didn't watch this. So when you said he killed himself, I was going to be like, I made the joke about someone getting molested. So someone got fucked up in this.
No one got molested
or killed themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Now you have to watch it because the footage.
How did this get nominated then?
Footage. Footage and storytelling.
That's good.
Big Lou's before there was any
big what?
Yeah, that's true.
He bit him.
He bit him.
Bit him?
He bit him.
He bit him and beat him?
Was it beat him?
Holy
fuck. Did he say he beat me? Well, I thought he said he bit me.
No.
That seems more fucked up than getting beat.
Oh, yeah.
When was the first time he bit you?
Yeah, like, wait, how hard?
What? Are you telling me that he bit you?
Yeah. Those aren't bruises. Those are teeth marks. Like, this is fucked up.
Now I feel really fucking stupid.
Oh, this is why it would have been inducted into the Congressional Library. Because the fucking kid got bit.
Yeah.
No one did shit about
it. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that guy's dead now. So, like, you can't even get
a rabies shot or what? Yeah, we got to. Also, that's a pretty hardcore prison term. You're like, I bit a kid. My kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking.
Step kid.
Oh. Step kid.
As Jimmy Carr would call them, motherfuckers.
Step kids are motherfuckers?
Jimmy.
No.
Oh, I immediately thought of Jimmy Fallon. I
was like, stepdads?
Stupid guy.
Stepdads are motherfuckers.
He said that in a speech, publicly?
Oh my God, what? I'm fucked
up. Jimmy Carr?
Oh, sorry. I heard Jimmy Carter.
No.
And I was like, wait, why would there be a president being like, P.S., the nation, stepdads are motherfuckers? I was like, what is going on?
Literally this morning.
Peanut farmer went nuts.
I just watched the Jimmy Carr stand-up special. And he's talking about stepdads, and there's a guy in the front row, and he's like, who's the stepdad here? And this guy goes, he's like, oh, hey, what are you? He's like, oh, just so you know, stepdads. Your name, motherfuckers. This is true.
That's a very Jimmy Carr joke. It's very British.
I thought he meant the kids.
Yeah.
Like he has a kid. Jimmy Carr is a kid now, but like maybe he has a stepkid too. He's like, oh, they're motherfuckers. No. But like that's on a Netflix special? That kid could watch that special. Fuck you. I just became a shitty stepkid.
Yeah, looks like we're getting half of Jimmy's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It was a good special.
Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. They didn't have dads. So there was one.
The one kid's dad, operated like a huge indoor skate park,
and he still wasn't
fucking sweet.
Yeah,
and he still wasn't around.
He was.
Oh,
we never saw him.
We did see him. That was Zach's dad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, we did
at the birthday party
with the dog. Cheese.
Was Zach the least talented skateboarder out of that crew?
It doesn't say. No, well,
he was the best.
Oh, that makes sense. I was like, he's either going to be the best or the worst.
And then
his dad's like, I got a fucking business.
He would have grown up skateboarding. His dad had this indoor skate park.
As soon as they were onto that segment, I was like, that makes sense. Fucking course.
Dude, that was like a Richie Rich movie to me. Like having your parents own a skate park. I was like, that would be like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then I think like they were working on building one as well.
They did. Yeah. Zach and a friend of his, a business partner owned one together and they rented it out. Like they built like the whole inside of an old like Macy's or something. It was big.
Indoor parks are hard to keep running, but Denver would be the place
this was in Rockford.
In Illinois.
Oh,
they just did it for the winter.
Then he stopped paying his rent.
That would do it. That usually doesn't go well.
Or no, that was his apartment.
That was his apartment.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah.
Jesus. Dog shit everywhere. But his partner for this indoor skate park business thing, his partner was taking the money. He said that he was taking care of the books, but he was literally just pocketing all the money.
Yeah.
And then the day that they got notice or something, the day that they got contacted by the IRS or whatever, he never heard from him again, or like something, something the day after
he closed down,
he just bailed and I've never seen him since.
But
I mean, building that skate park by hand. And like, what a great spot too. Like it was a big building, cool looking shape on the outside, cool architecture, but
yeah,
that's a shame. That would burn you for sure.
And then Zach moved to Denver for a little while.
Briefly, yeah. Like I think like probably
so
a couple of months, not long. Cool.
He's like one of those guys, like for sure alcoholic, like had a alcohol dependency issue. Basically the running theme, him growing up is like he knocks up his girlfriend. She's 20 when she has the kid, turns 21 after the kid's born. They argue and fight all the time. He gets drunk and ends up throwing her around. Doesn't ever show up, but they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they split up and she goes to live with her aunt and uncle.
In like a really nice house.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
I guess like internally that changed everything for Bing Lu, because during this, it was about like absent fathers and abuse and childhood and transitioning to adulthood. And then this is done in like a cinema verite style, like definitely Maisel's brothers. But the Maisel's brothers, like they talked to their subjects and like they kept that stuff in their films. So this is like a Maisel's brothers style movie. But like halfway through, this fucking comes out because there's a recording. Someone took a recording of them.
Her freaking out saying she was going to kill him. And
But I guess prior to that,
caught on video.
No, it wasn't caught on video or audio.
Well, the clip that they hear, it's a video.
He just puts it face down. Yeah. He just doesn't watch it. Yeah.
And
so I guess like just minutes prior to that, I guess
you tossed her through a coffee table or something like that.
Yeah,
glass or wood.
I think it was wood.
Either one doesn't matter.
Well, glass. It's crazier.
It's usually tempered glass and just kind of breaks into little pieces. It's not sharp.
Yeah, I guess wood is just
pretty solid. That's how I got this fucked up scar. But it wasn't magic.
Okay,
it wasn't magic.
That was a very dark night.
Yeah.
Wow.
After I had my first baby, my husband threw me through a coffee table.
You're not a woman? the fuck? This is when you figure it out?
But that's just like, that's like prime example of young couples having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're both they're both still not mature enough to like
plan like something like that.
Divvy up responsibility. Like he's pissed because she turns 21 and wants to go out to the bar all the time.
Yeah.
She's pissed because she doesn't think he takes enough time with the kid.
Yeah.
And it just spirals but he's, out of control.
I did think that this was kind of an asshole thing for him to say prior to all of that. He gets the baby dropped off to him because she comes, or no, he has the baby the whole time. She comes home from work because she works at a restaurant. She changes and wants to go back out with her friends to have a drink, and then they fight about it. But when she leaves, he looks back at the camera and they quickly talk about it. Like, do you guys ever try to sort this shit out? And he's like, oh, not successfully. And then he's like, well, like you turned 21 and like, but you had a kid at 20. So like, sorry, it's too late. But I'm like, that's unsympathetic for sure. You've already had the kid. You might still be breastfeeding, whatever. That's your deal. But like, you got to let people live. Like you had your fucking great times doing whatever you were doing. And now you knocked up this girl and you're trying to like cuff her to this baby. Yes, babies are important, but like, so is living your life when you're still young. That's fine. I mean, like, you're the dad. Are you upset? You want to go out and fucking drink. That's the case.
She's a woman.
Right. And so she deserves to get hit for that.
Well, I mean,
it's just, it was kind of shitty. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's not fair.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
It's not fair.
I think
at all.
That's just indicative of, two people that are, and again, he was 100% in the wrong, but just two people that aren't mature enough to.
Yeah. You would like to think now, looking back, he'd be like,
she seems like from what you see in this movie, she seems like a fantastic mom.
Mm-hmm.
Very caring, very.
Yeah, she does try. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And so there's a point where like they split up, they're not together. And then basically she's like, he's if he's not going to be around, because he fucks off to Denver at this point.
Yeah.
Like, if he's not going to be around, he's got to pay child support.
Yeah. Some chick like paid for his ticket out there. Damn. And said that you're going to live with me. And
nice.
Yeah.
She's ladies, man, though. This guy.
Yeah. I feel like he's not picky enough, though.
Getting it. Oh, but,
as of the end of the movie, they were still together.
Yeah.
Nice. Him and this other girl.
Oh, great. Good. Good for him.
Does he ever quit drinking?
Good for her. Probably not.
No.
Nice. Like,
so,
semi-pro.
There's a point like in the documentary where he's going in and he's buying like a 12-pack or 20-pack of Pabst. Mm-hmm. And I think this is when he comes back to Rockford. And he's just like, yeah, this is just kind of my jam. Like, this is what I do.
This is what I do. Cracks a beer. Yep.
Sweet.
Yep. That makes sense. This, like, fucking painfully character-driven. Like,
yeah.
This really is not a skateboarding documentary.
No. No, cool. It's just skateboarding happens to be the backdrop.
Yeah, it could have been lacrosse. It could have been fucking darts. It could have been like woodworking. Doesn't matter. Yeah, with the same people, it would have been equally as hard hitting.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, right. Fuck. So halfway through, Bing Lu has this not revelation, but he films this revealing side of Zach Mulligan that he beats his girlfriend even once. And so it kind of cracks him a little bit and it forces him to include this in the documentary that his stepdad abused him like quite a bit. And so he starts to see a therapist and then he decides to open up about his abusive childhood with Kier, and then Kier, that's kind of how almost the doc starts. It's pretty early on. He's sitting down with Kier somewhere. I think it was in like Kier's room or something, somewhere inside. And he asks Kier
if his parents are together. Is that
I forget the exact question, but it was something along the lines of did you cry when your dad beat you? And Kier's like, wouldn't you? And then Bing Lu responds back. He's like, I did cry when my dad did beat me. And then they just kind of stop talking for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
The scene cuts and then they change. But I think that was after, I think, that revealing moment with what's his face, Zach, about beating his wife. And then the whole documentary kind of shifts, but it shifts retroactively. You don't get to see this shift. The documentary in total becomes about relationships to fathers and sons and parenting and childhood to adulthood. But Bing starts to see a therapist and then he kind of takes what he learns in therapy, applies it to his own life first. He sits down with his mother and starts to do interviews about his stepfather abusing him and his mother being with him for 17 years and them having a kid. So Bing Lu has a
half-brother.
He had a kid with his mom?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think we crossed wires somewhere. It's not that kind of family. They're from Illinois,
not deep Illinois?
Not deep Illinois. And then, so he sits down with his mom to interview and see if he can get closer to the heart of what the fuck happened and how she feels about it, what she knows. Does she even know that this happened to me, really? And I kind of think she did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but she says, you know, like, he had these moments of, like, just crazy where, like, you'd just get really angry and then
he would hit her and beat her as well.
And then it would get worse and worse, and then finally it got to a point where she's like, no.
Yeah.
Humans are interesting, man.
17 years later.
Yeah. Hey, wait a sec.
The one part that kind of like made me chuckle, like he's talking to his half-brother in the house, and his half-brother's like, this is my room. He's like, this is my brother's room. Bing's like, you can stop saying it's your brother's room. Like, you can address me and say it's my room. And he's like, I guess so.
Yeah. I like you as much as my dad likes you. Like, oh, fuck, man. Well,
him and his half-brother, Bing Lu's mom, gets married at the end to another guy at the end of the dock, and they both walk her down the aisle.
I always expect, like, wedding footage to be way grainier and, like, not color corrected, but like this was super clear, like Steadicam footage. Not of the whole wedding, but like I don't know. I always imagine that weddings happen always
in the past
79. So I just expect them to be grainy. Weddings.
Everyone takes a time machine back to 1979 to get married.
You just have to put a filter on.
Everyone goes out and buys a Super 8. But yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, no, it. I can't say enough about the doc. Like,
cool.
The content was fantastic. It was shot beautifully. I definitely am going to check out All About the Sons. I believe is
All These Sons.
Yeah, it's about Chicago's South and West Side guns, gangs destroying countless lives. Two men dedicate their lives educating, empowering, and healing young black men and at high risk for being victims or perpetrators of deadly gun violence.
I think that has a connection with one of the executive producers on Minding the Gap. I can't remember who it was. And one of them, one of the executive producers directly produced, or maybe even directed, The Interrupters and Hoop Dreams.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think Hoop Dreams was nominated.
It definitely was. It probably won.
Yeah.
I forget. So. That was from a while ago, though.
Oh, dude, it's... Yeah.
But,
it's old. Yeah.
Well, The Interrupters is about...
We watched
Chicago, right?
Yeah.
For an episode.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy how fucked up Chicago is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if we were to explain, like, a certain... area of Chicago.
But I don't think it's fucked up any more than most places.
Okay, well...
I mean, Toronto. Toronto's getting really bad.
But it's crazy that you could say, like, describe a neighborhood and you're like, oh, is that like some third world country? You're like, no, that's in literally the middle of the biggest first world country in the world. I'm like, well, that's a fucking problem. Right.
I'm heading to Baltimore in July, and I think it's the same. Like,
we should probably say goodbye to Tyler.
A lot of people say, you know, don't leave the Inner Harbor.
If you can see the water, you're still in like money land.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a boat, just in case shit goes down. You can get on that fucker,
a little one,
and get out of here.
Pick a small boat.
And same with Toronto. Like, if you say Jane and Finch, like that's a area you don't want to go to. I
had a friend buy a dog from someone on Craigslist on the corner of Jane and Finch.
Oh, nice.
Nice dog.
Dude, when the height of the gang war is going on, my buddy's like, we're going to go to Dirt Jumps in Jane and Finch. And I was like, okay. In the middle of the summertime, and we made it, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
I remember seeing kids like out of high-rise apartment buildings, like throwing giant water balloons on people and like just the craziest shit.
That sounds like
And then
fun.
We park at this parking lot and then you just go into the woods. And I was like, cool, we're all going to die.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Oh, yeah, it was nuts. Yeah.
And
every city, every place has shit like this, though.
Yeah, and I think it's just... It's
Chicago's crazy. Areas might be a little bit larger. Like they're saying like the south side is bad, north side's good, stuff like
it's
that.
White, the
it's
north.
Well, it's closer to Canada.
Oh, that checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting close to Canada. You got to stay over there.
I was going to say, like, you're getting close to Canada. Like, mind your manners.
Yeah.
Mind the gap.
Oh, yeah. The prairies.
It really is a gap. I consider Manitoba to be a gap.
I just wish that
you could get
a flyover.
Yeah.
It's like the true, like, the only those, like, flyover Bay. States. There's, like, a flyover province. You're like, Manitoba.
You get to the borders of Thunder Bay, and then you just immediately transport to Calgary.
Yeah. Oh, want to go?
Oh,
from,
yeah. There's fucking Saskatchewan.
Let's go from nothing to nothing. You're like, let's do that.
Well, there's the skate park, and
That's true in Edmonton, but
So much of this talk rang true, except for the fucking family beatings. But
you never got beat, pussy.
No, I was gonna say all my friends did.
I would say probably most of mine because
I would get them to beat me
with
up
skateboarding and BMXers, and they were all like, hey, why don't you guys like Christmas? And then 5 minutes later, you're crying. You're like, fuck, I get why you don't like Christmas, dude.
God fucking damn it.
I got presents. You got the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah. But like, so the best skater that I knew growing up, but terrible relationship with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Horrible. Yeah. Second best skater that I knew, great relationship with his dad.
Oh, so it is possible.
His dad helped build the skate park in Napanee.
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like it's just an over... what's the word I'm looking for?
There's a lot of abusive representation.
Well, no, it's
in skateboarding.
I think in any extreme sport, probably.
Like per capita.
It hurts and it's dangerous. So like
per capita.
What, it's abuse like, or the sport?
No, it's a death drive. Like you just do stuff that can clearly hurt you for a long time because, well, you had like love beaten out of you. So
it just seems like, the feeling like skateboarding like per capita is more like it's the same. And I know like, you know, like all hockey players have the same kind of like personality,
like rich and dumb.
Sure.
but I don't know if I should be offended. You just called me rich, but also stupid.
And I guess that makes sense. Like, you know, like
it's very astute of you to find that out.
People that are all kind of, attracted to like a certain hobby. Like I would say all model railroad guys are probably kind of the same.
Yeah.
Same type of personality.
Either really overweight or they're really thin and they all have beards and they all have glasses.
They're all autistic too, right?
Not so true.
Oh no.
No.
They definitely got
you did a whole thing on this.
Yeah. He knows this. He's one of them.
Oh, so what's
the,
like
he's the caboose.
What's the magnet that draws all these people together? What's their connecting thread?
Electricity. Because without it, it doesn't. You're just staring at a
basement.
But like, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I guess it's kind of a misnomer to say like.
No, there's like a scarcely like a traditional skateboarder like trope or stereotype. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And you could name those stereotypes, and Christian and I could be like, oh yeah, everyone that we know skateboards hits all those. Yeah. So I don't know if it's a stereotype because it seems pretty fucking accurate. Yeah, it just seems
like all the guys that I knew.
It seems like you don't have a choice.
Yeah, I knew in high school that skateboarder were all kind of like the. Same like type of personality, same kind of everything. Yeah. Whether you know, I didn't know all their home lives, but
yeah,
they all kind of like it wasn't like a super nurturing like
yeah
no.
Well, it's a solitary sport.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
yes, you go out, but like you go out as a gang of wild dogs.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
not like you're on a team, and like if I don't push at the right time, you fall.
And if you were to yeah. if you were to be one of those people in that group, they're like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Like, and it's
like a real team player.
Yeah, like, but, hey guys, we gotta go learn ollies together. And then like, no,
but
yeah.
and it's like
you wouldn't have learned skateboarding like that. You'd have been like, "This is no. fuck. You made this lame as fuck."
It's a very counterculture like type of
very much
absolutely
activity.
Man.
Like you know, like you're skateboarding at City Hall, and the security guard comes up and says, "Oh, you guys can't skate." You're like, "Oh, fuck you, man."
Yeah.
Like,
why do you think I flock to that shit?
Say no to the man, like type of thing, right? Like,
yeah. We're saying no to your dad. Don't ever forget that.
Where if I was skateboarding and some like security guard came up and was like, "Hey, you can't skateboard." Like, oh, sorry, man.
I had no idea, yeah.
Dude. I've legit been in situations where cops show up and before they're within talking distance, my buddy turns to me and he's like, "Can you promise me to be cool?" And I'm like, "What the fuck?" Like. Okay, so it's just like, oh, they're here and under like bullshit, like we're not doing anything that they think we're doing. So right away, yeah. they're gonna assume like, or borderline have their guns out. You'd be like, get the fuck down. So right away, I'm like, fuck off. But he was just like, please, just be normal. Yeah. I'm like, oh,
we can get out of this.
Yeah, and we did, but see, still, he's that, like, don't come at them hot. And I'm like, yeah. all right, dude.
That's another thing when I describe him, I'm like, he's just like a I don't give a shit attitude kind of guy.
But he chose to give a shit. That one time.
Because his friend asked it.
Gave a shit twice.
No, but he did.
I also didn't have any shoes. I was bare feet at the time.
But okay. He didn't.
With spray paint all over my hands. And they're like, did you spray paint this? And I was going to be like, no. But clearly I did. So, yeah.
That's why I spray paint with my feet. Bare socked. And then I just put my shoes back on. No one knows.
Mitch I was just standing here.
Mitch is a rebel without a cause.
Yeah. I was stopped by a cop once skating with a buddy. And it was like 2 a.m, bombing down a hill. And they stopped us, threw the lights on, came up behind us. And so we stopped. And they're like, what are you boys doing now? It's pretty late. We're like, yeah, there's no cars. It's perfect. They're like, well, like, don't you have somewhere to be? I'm like, no, it's Saturday. I just got off work. I was like killing it dishwashing. And like, I'm fucking done. So we skate.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, like, do you have any priors? And I was like, what the fuck is a prior? Like, never yeah. mind.
Richard. Yeah. Do you have any Richard Pryor CDs?
I got a fucking yeah. dick.
Dude, you be like, it. Oh, you have that is crazy? And like, did you just say the N-word to me, sir? And like, that's the name of his album. I thought we were talking about Pryor albums. No. That's like, dude, when I got arrested, one of the first things the cop said was like, do you have a lawyer on retainer? And we were 18. And I was like, who the fuck do you think we are that I could just call some guy, I got a lawyer. Like, no, dude. Like, yeah. no, we don't.
I'm not old enough and I don't so, have yeah. enough money have and I never touched like, kids. So like, no,
well,
I don't
if
have
I did have priors, I'm not going to tell you. So yeah. fuck off.
Well, and then I was like, what the fuck is a prior? And they're like, never mind.
Yeah.
Go home. I was like, no.
But. Do you molest? You're like, what does that mean? Like sex? And they're like,
is there a club that I'm yeah. missing a meeting right now?
Well, dude, I've been biking and had a cop like just stop me and be like, hey, do you know Kevin? And I was like, yeah. what? Like no last name. Just do you know Kevin?
Yeah.
And like, no. I'm like, okay. I'm like, were you doing police work? Was that yeah. like, that seems fun.
All the time. Yeah, hanging out at the skate park and the cop just rolls up. Oh, and just dude, stands
so
there
many like, times.
Fuck off.
So many times.
Yeah.
See? I don't think I'm wrong when I describe Mitch.
No.
No.
Half,
fuck, man.
Half wrong. Yeah. But
yeah. God damn it.
I'll put yeah. up his bio on the Twitter.
Do I need to change? Is this what this is?
Yeah. This is an intervention, Mitch.
I feel like I've calmed down a lot. So
you have to mind the gap if you don't. Yeah.
I'm stuck in the gap, bro.
You'll get stuck.
Oh. Yeah. I'm seeing where the bottom is in the gap.
No, you're not. You don't do those drugs.
true that.
I've picked our next one. I think it's going to be an interesting one.
Oh, so soon.
Has a great rating on IMDb.
Is that about, usually a good thing or a bad thing?
Is it about raves?
No.
Well, that was my it's random
about,
guess.
It's about Earth.
I feel like every fucking doc is about Earth.
Mother?
In a roundabout way.
Mother yeah. Earth? They're usually filmed in and around.
No, this one's called Home. It is a 2009 doc. So IMDb lists it as, or lists a synopsis as, with aerial footage from 54 countries, Home is a depiction of how Earth's problems are all interlinked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, when three businesses own everything.
Yeah.
Directed by Yann Arthus Bertrand.
Directed by Yann? Like J-A-N?
Nope.
Why?
Y-A-N-N. Y-A-N-N.
Oh. Yeah. Whoa.
Yan.
Yan's yeah. of France.
Hmm.
This footage looks pretty cool.
It looks like the Walmart version of Planet Earth.
Dude, come on now.
What?
What makes it Walmart? That it's been done before, or they just did it on a mass scale?
Both.
Oh.
So yeah,
that checks out.
I mean, Yann is an older gentleman, but he didn't start directing stuff until like 2006.
Mm. Holy.
Sam Walton didn't open his first Walmart until he was 50. No, I don't know if that's true.
So his first
I'm thing go with it. Though.
Sure, why not?
His first thing was a series that ran for like 5 years, Earth from Above.
Hmm. Cool.
And then he did Home, 7 Billion Others.
Wait, so he's just recycling footage.
Probably. Yeah.
He had one budget and he's like, I got to make this go. Yeah.
This one's about Earth. Now this is the one about everyone on Earth.
It's the same footage.
Everyone? Yeah. This is a 20-hour documentary.
All his shit is rated pretty high, like ranked pretty high on.
Mm.
He did 7 Billion Others, Paris from Above, Forest and People, Planet Ocean.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Algier from Above.
Get off your fucking high horse.
Human, Terra, Woman.
Middle East from Above?
Oh my God.
No. Yeah.
That's Saint Lessons in Darkness.
Lessons in Darkness.
That's the Herzog about the Kuwait fires.
Yeah, you're right. It's yeah.
It's not super nice, but
I think this discredits this already. So in the beginning of the film,
son of a bitch,
it says in the beginning when the humans appear, it says that towns grew only 600 years ago. But Rome was a city more than 2,000 years ago. So there's that.
Wait, are you saying that England? There's like a title card or like there's a caption that says?
Yeah.
Isn't barely. England like the city of England way older than 600 years old?
The yeah. city of England?
Yeah, like dude, the Oxford University, they like, Mystery. I mean, they that's in, that's, wait, you know what I mean, London.
Keep going.
Shut up. Oxford, they like don't know how old that is, that like the school itself.
Mm.
So 600 years.
600 years from 2009. That would be what, 1409?
Yeah, no. That doesn't... They got hard numbers like that?
Hey, I don't know.
June or January 1st? They're like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. So okay. We'll see.
That's,
well,
I don't, yeah.
We might have a backup then, right?
Well, no, I think this is a legit doc.
Well, that seems crazy.
Oh, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like me.
Goofs. That's where you found this in the IMDb page.
That's awesome.
Oh, sorry. I fucked up. I meant to say 1.16.
Maybe they forgot a zero. They're like, it could have been 6,000 years, not 600.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's better than 60. You're like, wait, 60 years ago?
I'm
with 6,000 even then.
My dad's 61. Yeah. What the hell?
That doesn't check out.
Did he help do this shit?
Maybe.
600 years. Fuck. Well, I guess we'll just have to watch.
I don't believe it.
We'll put an update on our Twitter X account.
Errors in geography. The film refers to Colorado's Grand Canyon. God. When in fact, no part of the Grand Canyon is even near Colorado.
What the fuck?
That's it fucking is, Yan for you.
It is the Colorado River that which runs through it.
Classic. River, valley, same thing.
Classic Yan.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Yan Arthur's something or other.
I think Bertrand.
I think he hates America.
Bertrand. Yan Arthas Bertrand.
Arthas?
Yeah. What the fuck?
This is made by an alien.
He's a foreigner, bro.
This is how he got the footage.
You know who narrates the...
Fucking Herzog?
No, the English version?
I'm going to take a real guess at this.
Miley Cyrus.
Jeremy Irons.
Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
It's Miley Cyrus.
It's her sister.
Jeremy Irons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
No, it's wrong.
Britney Spears.
Is it Ron White?
No.
That'd be fun.
Oh, you said it was wrong? Yeah, it is wrong as well, but
yeah.
I thought you said Ron.
Cruella DeVille.
No fucking way. That's a fictional character.
Yeah.
Glenn Close.
Oh.
She kills the puppies.
Right. Glenn Close. Did Glenn Close do the live action one?
Yeah.
Cruella? Back in the '90s?
Yeah.
I thought that was a cartoon.
No, that's like old.
There was a live action.
Oh, I didn't know that.
101 Dalmatian.
Yeah, it would have came out when you were a kid. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I've only seen the animated one.
The animated one's pretty cool. Yeah. The animated one's like... Oh no, that's a risk. That's a different movie. Never mind. I was like, isn't that 101 with like the super racist cats? But that's Aristocrats.
Yeah.
With the Siamese cats.
Mm.
That's a great movie.
All cats go to hell. It's want to make that movie?
All dogs go to heaven. It's a really fucked up movie if you.
Yeah.
If you don't remember it.
Then like Mile and Otis, that one with like cats and about like adventure of cats and dogs.
Mm.
They like killed like 30 some cats getting this shot in the river because they would just throw cats into the river. It's like one of the most fucked up movies.
So all dogs,
I think it like single-handedly created PETA. Like they were just like, what the fuck?
All dogs go to heaven. Like the dog that goes to heaven is like a mob boss.
Oh, he has AIDS.
No, he runs a casino.
Yeah.
A dog casino.
A dog casino.
And then,
well, it could have been a brothel.
And then another.
That would have made more sense because they're truly bitches.
He gets out of the pound. He escapes jail.
Yeah. Okay.
And he gets back to the casino and like this other guy is like wants a power. It's a power grab.
Yeah. Okay.
And he runs him over with the car.
Wait, the dog does?
The dog runs the other dog over with the car. It's a big hill where there's like a pier.
Yeah.
And he like sends the car down the pier and boom.
So what's the moral for children in this story?
You can do anything and go to heaven.
And then there's this then there's this kid that's been kidnapped by this other bad dog and like being held captive somewhere.
Did you watch it recently?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Did you show your kid this and like your kid's just scared of dogs now?
No, I was just like tossing it out. I'm like, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
This is an didn't remember is any it, of it
is
apparently.
It, is it Disney?
No.
Oh, okay. No, okay. Mm. That's fucked. Like, it seems like it was like written as like a hardcore mob movie. Yeah. And then they're like, what if we make this animated and they're dogs? And you're like, oh, okay.
Remember that dog's playing poker picture? And
the girl that gets kidnapped, we'll just make that a little boy. And you're like, what the fuck?
There's people and dogs that drive cars in this.
Okay. No, the dog doesn't drive the car.
Oh, he just like he cuts just the brakes with his.
In, he just like puts it in neutral and it rolls down.
He knows how to put it in neutral.
And run a casino.
They run a casino and they wear clothes. So I think he wears, maybe they don't wear clothes. I don't know.
At that point, they're probably pissed they can't drive because they're that close to being humans. But they're like,
I got these fucking,
what the fuck?
Thumbless paws. Fuck me.
They would like cut little kids' hands off and steal their thumbs so they could have thumbs.
Maybe that's why they're, I don't remember why they were, had the kid cast.
This is an insane movie. Yeah. There was definitely kids crying in the movie theater with that movie.
For sure.
Fuck. A good mob boss. That's sweet.
Yeah, but we will
watch Home.
Yeah, we'll be back with Home next week.
That's where All Dogs Go to Heaven came from.
That's where All Dogs Come From.
That's where this podcast is shooting from right now.
Home. Okay. Home. Let's, see you guys later.
See you later.